Matthew chapter number 14, and I want to start reading in verse number 22. In the context of the scripture, you find that Jesus and the disciples have come out to a place, a desert place. matter of fact, if you read Matthew's account of this, Jesus had told the disciples, said, go away into a desert place, come apart and rest a while. Well, a funny thing happened after they went to that place, way out in the middle of nowhere. The crowd followed them there. And the Bible says that if you read in the previous verses here, that the day was far spent and the crowd was hungry. And Jesus, the disciples said, send this crowd away. We can't feed them. And Jesus said, bring what you got to me. And you know the story how that Jesus fed the 5,000. And the disciples were the ones that were utilized in passing out the meal. And then went on vacation. He'd say, to come apart and rest a while. And here they are, 5,000 people shows up. And boy, that's some vacation when you got to wait tables on 5,000 people. But here they are in the middle of this. And after that's over with, Jesus says, now boys, get in the ship. I want you to go to the other side over there. In verse 22, the Bible said, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us now in this place. God, give us the liberty we need to be able to bring the thought that you've impressed upon our heart for this hour. Lord, thank you for the singing. Thank you for everything that's been done. Now, Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight in this meeting. God, just accomplish that you desire to do tonight. Father, we're going to thank you for all you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask you tonight. Amen and amen. You find the scene here of one of the greatest miracles, I guess you'd say, that God allowed a human being to do. Here in this story, we have our Savior, of course. He is God manifested in the flesh. And he tells the disciples, says, I want you to get in the ship. You go to the other side. I'm going to go pray up there on the mountain. And the Bible said that about the fourth watch of the night, the disciples are down there. And the Bible said the winds are contrary to them. They're already weary and tired from the service that they have been given to others. Here they are in the midst of the darkest part of the night, and the winds are contrary to them. And Jesus, the Bible said, and matter of fact, one passage talking about this said, as though he would pass by them. But in Matthew's account, the Bible said Jesus came walking to them on the water. And the funny thing is that the disciples did not recognize who it was. Matter of fact, they said it's a spirit. The disciples must have been from the mountains because they thought it was a haint that was coming at them on the water. It's a spirit. They didn't know what it was. And gee, they cried out for fear. The Bible said, and then Jesus said, it is I, be not afraid. And here's where it really gets interesting for a normal human being. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, let me come out there where you're at. I'll put it in my words. And Jesus said, he didn't go through a long process. He just said, come. And the Bible said Peter stepped out of the side of the boat. I'm talking about the waves are still boisterous. I'm talking about the other disciples are still in the boat. And Peter crawls over the side of the boat and starts doing something that not any person in this building has ever done. He began to walk on water. And he's walking toward where Jesus was. And this is where the Bible said it gets interesting. As he's going to where Jesus is, suddenly he gets his eyes off the Savior and he sees the winds boisterous and his circumstances surrounding him. Can I say to you young preachers, there's going to be days when you're trying to serve God and you're simply walking to where Jesus wants you to walk, but them winds are going to catch your attention. The commotion on each side will sidetrack you. And Peter finds himself in a spot now that the winds are boisterous. And all of a sudden, instead of walking, he's a sinking. And then suddenly, instead of walking to where Jesus is, he finds himself in a good bit of peril. And he cries out to the Lord and said, Lord, save me. And the Bible said Jesus reached out with his hand, took him by the hand, and lifted him up. Hallelujah. And he began to talk to Peter about his faith. I got to thinking about this. I was driving back from a revival meeting several years ago from Virginia. And late one night, I was coming back, and thoughts were running through my head, and I just had a lot of things. All of a sudden, this thought came into my mind. I didn't know where it came from, but I knew I'd heard this phrase, but I didn't exactly know exactly. I couldn't really explain what it meant, so I went home and started researching the thought of treading water. You ever heard that phrase? Somebody says, we're just treading water. I didn't fully understand what that phrase meant, but treading water is simply this. It's when somebody's in the water, they're not swimming because they're not actually going forward or backward. They're just maintaining an upright position. Basically, when you're treading water, the whole aim is just to keep your head above water. I mean, that's really, when you're treading water, there's nothing else you're trying to accomplish other than just keep your head above water. I began to think about that. I said, I see so many Christians today in our churches that it seems like that's the state they're in today. They're simply trying to keep their head above water.
Yes, sir.
Peter went from walking on the water to now he's treading water. Can I say to you, it can be a quick transition. You may be here tonight walking in victory. You may be here tonight and you're walking with seems like the power of God on your life and the word of God commanding your life. But before the morning comes, a storm could come that would cause you to get to the place that you begin to tread water. Instead of doing what God has told you to do, you can find yourself in a place you're just fighting to survive. Amen. I begin to think about that. I'm preaching on that thought tonight on some things to remember when you're treading water. Do you realize, first of all, when you're treading water, Peter's walk, he went from walking on water to struggling in his walk. You know what happens when you get to treading water? Your walk will turn into a struggle. I've pastored in the same place. I'll be going on 24 years now. Sunday after Sunday. Some Sundays you come in and they're high and everybody's spirits is good. Some Sundays, preacher, you know this. You've been here long enough. You can read your people. You know when they're down. You know when they're discouraged. You know when there's problems in the congregation. Boy, I tell you what, sometimes you come in and you realize the people you love, the people you're trying to help, are struggling in their walk with the Lord. They're struggling with the problems that they're facing. They're struggling with doubts and fears. Let me tell you something right now. It doesn't matter who you are. I've seen a lot of people and they boast about how spiritual they are.
Go ahead.
And they'll rear back and they say, well, I'll never do that. They'll see somebody else go, I'd never act like that. You don't know how you'll act till you're there. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Sometimes when you get that attitude, God will send the kind of trial that will shake your very core just to show you what you will do in times like that. Oh, Peter's one of these boisterous fellows, man. He jumps at everything. Here he is walking on the water, and the next thing you know, you look, and now he's going under. He's not only struggling, but he's sinking. Do you realize Peter's going in the direction that no child of God should ever go in? He's going down. You see, before I was saved, my life had a downward pull. Every step I took before I was saved was a step closer to hell. Downward. But the day Jesus saved me, he put something in me called the Holy Ghost. And it has an upward pull. Amen. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, one of these days it's going to lift me plumb out of this world. Hallelujah to his name. Can I say to you, but here Peter is now in a place that no Christian should be. He's in a sinking position. He's miring up in the water when all the while he ought to be dancing on the waves. Amen. Can I say to you, praise God, it's easy to get to a treading water and feeling like you're sinking, feeling like you're struggling, and you're fighting simply for survival. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I got to thinking about that. In the Word of God, there's some things that'll cause you to tread water. Number one, when you get weary in your service. These men are in the fourth watch of the night and they're tired physically. They were at a place, Jesus said, man, there's such a crowd here. Let's go somewhere apart from here so we can rest. And guess what? When they showed up there, there wasn't no rest there. If anything, they had to wait on 5,000 people to feed. Let me tell you something right now. And then on top of that, Jesus says, now get in the ship and go to the other side. They're pulling night shift now. They've worked all day. And now here they are out there in the night shift, and the winds are contrary. You know, there's a lot of contrary winds in this world. But I'm going to tell you when you notice them the most is when you're tired. When you're weary in mind. Oh, it don't take us much. It seems like the waves are magnified and the winds are magnified when you're tired and weary in the service. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, preacher, but there's going to come days to you and these other young men and some of these others, there's going to be days that you get weary in what you're doing. Brother Adam, I know for a fact y'all family travel and sing and you're singing more revivals than any group I know, but I know there's a lot of nights when you're booked to go somewhere, you get in the van and you're tired in body and the old enemy says, what are you doing this for? And the old enemy's trying to discourage you. Those contrary winds are trying to defeat you, and I got news for you. That's when the enemy will jump in your boats, when you are tired and weary in the service. That's why every now and then you need to come apart. I'm not a good one to preach that because I don't do much of it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You got a load limit on you. Amen. You got a load limit. I don't care. You say, but I'm young. Listen, I could do it. I could do a whole lot, but I'm not young anymore. I used to be the young preacher, but now I'm the old preacher all the young preachers come to get advice from. And I say this, every now and then you need to find a place of rest. I'm just now starting back in meetings. I've been off for like 3 or 4 weeks, 2 months, something like that. My wife looked at me and she said the other day, she said, you act different. You've been off from preaching for about 4 weeks and said, you act like you might live. I said, when you run and travel and preach every night of your life, physically, I said, it's hard on a young man, but when you start getting a little age, it really takes a toll. And she said, well, you acting more like yourself than you have been in a long while. I said, well, hold that thought. I'm getting ready to start back in meetings. Praise God. But can I say to you, we all get tired. We all get weary. I've often said this, being a pastor is kind of like being the coach of a football team. You're the one, you can see when your team's weary. There's times I look at our congregation and I see they've been going through stuff and I say, God, I need to help them in some way. Now, I know there's a lot of spiritual preachers. I know there's some of them much more spiritual than me. And they say, oh, that crowd, if they'd just bear down and get close to God, they could handle it and they could trudge through it. Well, thank God I don't go to that church. Amen. Amen. I got news for you. Love your people. Love the church. When they hurt, hurt with them. When they cry, cry with them. When they shout, shout with them. Amen. I got news for you, praise God. But you'll get weary at times in the service of God. I tell you, when you'll tread water, when you begin to worry about things you don't understand. Here's Peter and the disciples in a boat, and they see something coming to them across the water. This is before the invention of ski jets and all of that stuff. I mean, they're out there in the dark, and here comes something at them on the water. I was just on a big ship last week in the Bahamas. And you look out over that water, I'll tell you what's up right now. If I seen somebody walking toward that boat on the water, I'm going to be like old Fred Sanford used to be. Lizbeth, this is a big one. I'm coming home to join you. Hey. Here they are. They see somebody coming. They don't understand what's going on. You know why? Because Jesus had never come to them in this way before. Hold on. He might come to you in a way that he's never done before. And you'll get to wondering, what in the world is he doing? Can I say to you, there's times God deals with us in our life and we begin to wonder, God, where are you at? What are you doing? Last year I was in something I'd been praying to God about for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. Something good that would help some people I loved deeply. And I'd prayed and cried and asked God to fix this and fix that. Nothing was happening. Finally, I was out in my place of prayer one day and I said, God, and I just talked to him like I talked to my friend. Amen. I don't have to. Ain't no use to put on no pretense when you go talk to him. He knows your heart anyway. If you're mad, you just need to tell him you're mad. Because he already knows it. And I said, God, I don't understand this. I said, I'm wearing myself out running across the country trying to do your work. I'm trying to help your people. And I said, God, I've been asking you something good for people I love that's hurting. And I said, God, you ain't done nothing about it. And I've been praying and praying and doing my best. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost said, yeah, you're right. I haven't fixed the problem. I haven't even answered your prayers in the way that you've prayed them. But he said, but I'll tell you this, you're wrong that I ain't done nothing in the last year and a half. Well, I said, I'd like to know what you've done. I've been about to die asking you for this, and you ain't done a thing. He said, boy, turn around and look back. And over that whole year and a half, in the hardest days of your life, my grace carried you every step of the way. I said, God, you're right. I said, I'm sorry. I thought you hadn't done nothing, but you're right. If it wasn't for your grace, I wouldn't even be standing here today. I wouldn't have made it through it. Thank God, I'm glad. Praise God. There's a lot of times I went in the house and I wrote a song off of that. And I said, there are many days that I have prayed through my trials here, waiting for an answer, hoping through my tears. And in my disappointment, Lord, I could not see your face. I couldn't thank you for the answer, but Lord, I'll thank you for the grace. I'll thank you for the grace you give just to go another mile. I'll thank you for the strength I feel as I face this bitter trial. And though this valley seems so long that I'll never leave this place, when I can't thank you for the answer, Lord, I'll thank you for the grace. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that when we're treading water and when it seems like we don't understand what he's doing or why he's doing it, hallelujah, I'm glad he's a God that'll speak to our hearts and say, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid, hallelujah, to his name. When you're weary, you'll tread water. When you're worried about things you don't understand, then sometimes when you face things that frighten you and scare you out of your wits. The Bible said they cried out. They done seen a spirit walking towards them, and you talk about a scared bunch of preachers in the boat squalling like everything. Scared, slap to death. Have you ever been afraid of something? I deal with people all the time. Preacher, I'm afraid this sickness that I've got is going to do something. Preacher, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to my child. Preacher, I'm afraid sometimes when you get fearful, you'll begin to tread water. I don't know about you, but I don't like being scared. I remember, this is a funny story. My son Ryan, he's 30 years old now, but when he was 8 years old, his sister Brittany was just a little bit older than him, and typical little brother, he liked to aggravate his sister. And he went through a period of time, every opportunity he got to scare his sister, he would. He'd hide in places and he'd just scare the life out of her. And I saw this going on. I told my wife, I said, I need to break him from scaring and terrifying Brittany like he's doing. Every time he gets checked, I said, oh, he just thought it's funny. Every time. She's about to have a heart attack and he's laughing about it. Typical brother and sister type thing. I said, I got to break him from that. And I devised a plan. My wife was on board. In the house we lived in at that time, we had a basement. You went from our kitchen down into the basement. The steps led down, and right next to the steps was a washer and dryer where we did our laundry. And underneath, right beside, was the steps. Underneath the steps, there was nothing under. There were just dark shadows in another under the steps. And I told my wife, I said, I got a plan. I said, at that time, I'd been preaching a message on the devil. And I had went to one of these places around Halloween that sold these hideous-looking devil masks. And I used it as an illustration in that message. And I said, I'm going to get that devil mask. And I said, I'm going to put it on. I'm going to get underneath the stairs. And I said, I want you to send Ryan down to put laundry in, out of his dirty laundry out of his room, in the washer and dryer. And she said, all right, I'll do it. Here I am down underneath the stairs in the shadows, standing there right next to the washer and dryer. It's dim down there. I could hear my 8-year-old son coming down the steps. He's not very excited about the fact that his mother has told him to get his dirty laundry and put it in the washer. Matter of fact, he's mumbling stuff under his breath and everything else. He comes stomping down the steps and he lifts the lid on the washer. He's throwing clothes in there and he's mad. She's done took him away from playing some kind of game or something. He's doing this and doing that. And all of a sudden, he just stopped. And out the corner of his eye, he caught a glimpse underneath, in the shadows, underneath the steps, quietly standing there. And he looks over and he sees, and I've got this hideous devil mask on. He started backing up. And I believe he spoke in tongues. I really do. I mean, I'm talking about that kid. That kid went into convulsions. Matter of fact, it got to the point I was scared he was going to have a heart attack. And I said, oh Lord, I'm going to kill my boy. I ripped the mask. I said, Ryan, it's me. I mean, he's losing his mind. And I said, how am I going to explain this to the police? I said, officer, I don't know what happened to him. Last thing we heard is what mama told him to wash his clothes, and we just found him down here dead. I don't know what happened to him. And I'll be honest with you, he never, ever attempted to scare anybody after that to this day, to my knowledge. Well, I got news for you. If you look over in the shadows and there stands the devil, you ain't going to want to do it either, praise God. Amen. Here's the disciples. They're so scared. They're filled with fright. I mean, they don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden they hear a voice. Said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that when you're treading water and you become fearful about the things in your life, there's a God that's able to help you. Say, preacher, what should I remember whenever I find myself? What will God do for me when I find myself treading water? Well, I'll give you this and I'm done. Number one, Jesus drew near to him when he was treading water and he touched him. Bible said Peter got out of the boat. Jesus said, come. Peter got out of the boat. He's walking on water. Next thing you know, he's looking around and he begins to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. And the Bible doesn't say that Peter reached out for the Lord. It said the Lord reached out for him. And he grabbed hold of him. He touched him.
Amen.
I like it whenever I'm treading water and I feel like I'm going under for the last time. I feel like I'm not going to come up. I'm not going to survive. And then I'll feel the hand of God just touch me. I'll feel God's hand just give me strength that I didn't know I had. I'll feel his hand touching me. Thank God. I'm glad that we serve a God that's able to touch you when you're in trouble. I'm glad he can touch you when you feel like you're going under. I'm glad he can touch you when you feel like you can't make it another step. I'm glad he's able, hallelujah, to touch you. Amen. There's been a few times I've been out there. Say, Lord, I can't make it. And then I'd feel a touch from another world.
Amen.
I'll never forget years ago, I was in a revival meeting in High Point, North Carolina. I had got a late start that day to get down there. I thought I knew where it was going. And it was hot that day. I'd left the house. I'd been doing some things with the church. When I got down there, I took a wrong turn, and I'm down in the middle of High Point, lost. Have no bearings, have no directions on where I'm trying to find a prophet's chamber. Some church was letting them use that I was staying. And I thought, my, I'll never find this church. I said, ain't nobody knows where church is in these days. They can tell you how to get to Walmart. But you ask them where church is and they ain't got a clue. I stopped a couple places. Finally, I stopped one old boy. I told him where I was needing to be. And he said, well, I think if you stay on this road out here, that might take you where. I finally got there. And that evening I got there, I so wore out, so tired. I laid down in that prophet's chamber, and it was just about an hour to church. I said, Lord, I don't even know if I can preach tonight. Got over there to the church, and I was sitting on the front row. I was exhausted mentally and physically. Sitting there, I was just a zombie. I was just sitting there, and choir was singing, but I was hearing them, but I wasn't hearing them. I was sitting there, and physically I began to feel faint. I thought, Lord, I'm gonna pass out. I was so exhausted. And I sat there, and I began to pray. I said, Lord, if you don't touch me tonight, I said, I can't even stand up there, let alone preach. I said, my mind's so foggy right now. How am I going to preach, God? I said, I got to have you to touch me. And I heard the words. Well, it's good to have Brother Fletcher with us tonight. Come on, preacher. And the next thing I really remember is that I had preached about 45 minutes as hard as I've ever preached in my life in a strength that I have no idea other than the heavenly touch gave it. And when I finished preaching that night, I had mental clarity. I felt like I could probably run a marathon. And it was simply because in my time of need, God says, you're right, you do need a touch. I'm going to touch you, praise God. I'm glad, hallelujah, there's a God that's able to touch us when we have a need, amen. Not only did he touch him when he was treading water, but he spoke to him again. I want you to notice this. When Peter's in the boat saying, Lord, if it's you, let me come out there. The Lord didn't have much to say. He just said, come. Didn't have much to say that time, did he? Just come. Peter climbed out of the boat. He's out there treading water, about to go under. And the Lord grabbed him by the hand and said, now let's talk about this faith thing. How is it that you have so little faith?
Yeah.
Amen. And you see, he didn't look back at the boat and say, why ain't you boys got no faith?
Yeah.
It was a personal conversation with Peter out there.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something right now. If you want to have an intimate talk with the Lord, be willing to walk with him where nobody else will walk.
Yeah. Amen.
Them old boys are sitting in the boat looking at them out there, and they can tell they're talking, but they don't have no clue what's going on out there. That's where the majority of the church is at, sitting in the boat looking out over the water. Don't you look at that outfit. Who's he think he is out there walking with the Lord? Praise God. Amen. I got news for you. Amen. He not only touched him, but he spoke to him.
Amen.
Told him what he needed to hear. Can I say to you, if you're here treading water tonight, the Lord's got a word for you.
Yes,
he wants to help you. He wants to encourage you. You say, preacher, what else? And this is my final point. When I think about this, when he was treading water, he not only drew near to him and touched him, he drew near to him and spoke to him, but he drew near to him and helped him through the storm. If you notice how your Bible reads there, the Bible said as Jesus is talking to him, the next thing the Bible says is when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. I have a feeling this is what Jesus may have done. Peter's out there. The storm's still raging. How is it she ain't got no faith? He said, now Peter, I want to show you how to walk in the midst of a storm. I could see him with Peter's hand. The storm's still raging. He said, Peter, you can walk with me in the midst of the most severe storms of life. And he leads him, and the Bible says when they got in the boat, guess what? The wind ceased. Jesus went with him every step until he got to the other side of the storm. Isn't that good to know that the Lord will be with us every step of the way until the wind ceases? I'm glad wouldn't that have been something if the Lord said, all right, Peter, now I've got you up now. I've got to go on over yonder. You go on back to the boat. Well, he wouldn't have made it because his faith was already in question. Jesus said, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's me and you walk together. And he took him right back to the boat. They climbed up in the boat. Now, this is that crowd that's looking out over the boat. Have you ever seen anything like this? No, I ain't never seen nothing like it. I tried to tell that preacher, don't step out of the boat. Don't go where no man has gone before. We ain't never done it that way here. Amen. And here they are now. They see him. Boy, they're coming this way. They're coming this way. And all of a sudden they crawled up in the boat and the wind ceased. You know what the Bible said they done in the boat? They worshiped him. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Lord will even give that crowd that ain't got the faith to get out of the boat something in the midst of it. Amen. They got in on the worship too. Amen.
Yes.
You may not have the faith, but just hang around them that does, praise God, and you'll get in a little glory of your own. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. When you feel like you're treading water. There's a lot of days I feel like I'm treading water. You see, treading water, you ain't going forward. You ain't really, you come to a standstill. You know, they don't give no Olympic medals in the Olympics for treading water.
Sure.
They don't. Because that ain't what they're wanting you to do. But can I say to you, I'm glad we can walk with Jesus in faith and with victory. And I'm glad He'll carry us through the storm. Father, we thank You for what You've done for us tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd touch us tonight in this place. God, I pray that You'd speak to the very need of some heart that's here tonight. Lord, You knew who needed the message tonight. And Lord, maybe I just needed it myself. Lord, I pray that You'd take this word to the hearts of Your people. Encourage them, I pray. Strengthen them, I pray. Give them that they need, Lord, in these days, I pray. And for that one that may be here tonight, they feel as though they're struggling. Maybe somebody feels like they're sinking tonight. Just fighting for survival. They're in a stationary place in their life. They're come to a standstill. God, would You help them tonight? Would You touch them? Lord, would You speak to them? And Lord, would You help them to the other side of the storm? And Father, we're going to thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, let's